Welcome to Under Lock and Key, news and commentary about prisons from the Revolutionary Anti-Imperialist League and the Maoist Internationalist Movement. Texas murders Xhaka Sankofa, and Louisiana ends its private prison for juveniles. The U.S. incarcerates a greater percentage of its population than any other country, sending more black men to prison than college. The purpose of this program is to educate about and inspire activism against the American lockdown. Xhaka Sankofa, formerly known as Gary Graham, was executed by the state of Texas on June 22nd. Despite a weak case against him, unfair process in his trial, and widespread protests from around the world, Texas murdered him. In his final statement, he said, "I'm being lynched. The death penalty is a holocaust for black Americans." This report is by a Texas prisoner. The political assassination of Xhaka Sankofa is part of white supremacy and national oppression, not just an ideology, but a value system, a culture, a fact in the imperialist system of power. White supremacy permeates every single aspect of our lives, either as perpetrator or as victim. And so it should come as no surprise that George W. Bush and the parole board he put together, along with the courts that previous presidents, including his own father, put together, would proceed with the assassination of Xhaka Sankofa. However much people talk about international solidarity or the working class, the fact is that national oppression and its racial expression is primary in this country. That's why white workers could bring their white working class children to the lynching of a black and be entertained by the target practicing, mutilating, and burning of the helpless black victim. Why the white workers and their white working class children are so intent on reversing any and all gains made by blacks, whether these gains were civil rights, workers' rights, or prisoners' rights. There is a white wing assault, and George W. Bush is a standard bearer. The Bush boys, George and Jeb, the governors of Texas and Florida, were born and raised in West Texas in Midland. West Texas is a desert. There are a few blacks that live in the Midland-Odessa area, but the area is overwhelmingly Hispanic and white. In terms of the attitudes of whites from this area, one would be hard-pressed to find any who did not view and treat black any differently from a Klansman. In Midland, the Confederate Air Force Museum plays a prominent role in the political and social life. Yes, Texas has a Confederate Air Force. Of course, there was no flight during the U.S. Civil War. And people are crying about a flag in South Carolina. West Texas was the recipient of several prisons under Bush's welfare program, not counting two units in Amarillo. Bush gave West Texas 15 prison units. The Texas prison guard uniform is an exact replica of the Texas Confederate uniform. Texas prisoners must say yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, or yes, sir, boss. This comes right out of page 15 of the Inmate Orientation Handbook. Yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, boss. These demons have hundreds of acres of fields where vegetables and cotton are grown. On this plantation, as on others, they have combines to pick their cotton, but they have prisoners picking the cotton, singing slave songs as they do, with some punk slave driver on a horse with a pistol making sure the slaves don't miss a ball. This is slavery to the fullest. On some plantations, the field hands have to be counted, and when they walk past the overseers and their horses, they have to take their hats off. This is the same thing the black slaves of 1700 and the black people of Jim Crow, America of the 1900s had to do when in the presence of a white working class person. Hold your hat in your hand and never look Mr. Charlie in the eye. Up until about 1971, black folks still have to step off the sidewalk when a white worker was on it. Here in Texas, prisons were still required to step off the sidewalk when the white worker, represented by the Confederate soldier of any race, is on the sidewalk. Instead of a curb, however, there's a painted yellow line. In Texas, we're still stepping off the sidewalks. Prisoners held in Texas prisons do not get paid for their labor. There are two units where the state of Texas built those complexes for private manufacturers to use prisoner labor. They are technically not Texas Department of Corrections units. They've turned the plantation over to private concerns. The prisoners who make it to one of these manufacturing units are on pre-release status, and the numbers are statistically insignificant. We're talking 200 or 300 prisoners out of 150,000 prisoners in Texas. What all these factors demonstrate is a slave state. Is it against this backdrop that the assassination of Sankofa must be viewed? Simply put, Bush, adept at reading the pulse of his constituency, took no political gamble but instead gave the people what they wanted. The day after the assassination, Bush led Gore in the polls by 16% to 20%. But the Democratic Party generally, and Al Gore specifically, also support the racist death penalty explicitly in their party platform and in speeches in which Gore brags about expanding the death penalty. In the weeks that followed the Democratic convention, Gore's poll numbers pulled even with and even past Bush's for a period. Bush and Gore are the standard-bearers of white supremacy. As the Fort Worth newspaper demonstrated, whites interviewed said Shaka got what he deserved and that the system worked. And that he had his day in court, and that the parole board did the right thing. That may be what the whites say. In a few moments, we'll bring you a commentary by Mamia Abu-Jamal. Mamia is a Black Nation revolutionary fighting for his life on Pennsylvania's death row. Mamia was framed for the murder of a police officer because he is an outspoken opponent of American imperialism. This Mamia Abu-Jamal commentary was recorded by Bruderhof Radio. Bruderhof Radio can be contacted at www.freespeech.org/Bruderhof or via the phone numbers 1-800-778-8361 or area code 914-658-8351.
I'm Asada Shakur. Mamia Abu-Jamal, a husband, father, grandfather, and African-American, lives in the fastest-growing public housing tract in America. For over 15 years, he has been a resident of Pennsylvania's death row. Whether Mamia Abu-Jamal's voice will reach the airwaves and the people, and ultimately whether he lives or dies, will be a measure of the strength of our struggle. The outcome will depend on the depth of our courage and our will to organize.
On September 5th, 1999, the man born as Gary Graham marked his 36th year in life and his 18th year in a Texas cage. Several years ago, the Black Death Row prisoner changed his name to Shaka Sankofa after the great founder of the Zulu Empire of Southern Africa. For years, he's been fighting for his life, most recently against one of the most brutal killing states in America. Texas leads the nation in executions, spurred at least in part by the presidential aspirations of its governor, George W. Bush. Supporters from as diverse a grouping as the Pope, the Nation of Islam, and the National Coalition to Abolish the Death Penalty have been critical of some aspects of his trial and called for either clemency or a new trial. Sankofa's trial was marred by conflicting witnesses, ballistics evidence that cleared his weapon from the killing, and even alibi testimony, placing him miles away from the crime scene. Yet, much of this wasn't brought out to the jury. Five times Sankofa has faced the gallows, and five times he has been granted last-minute stays of execution. What disturbs many observers is a provision of Texas law that disallows evidence of innocence that does not come within that state's narrow time frame. Supporters of Sankofa have released a CD featuring music and spoken word to support his new trial efforts called Let the Evidence Be Heard. In early September 1999, the Papal Nuncio, Archbishop Gabriel Montalvo, wrote to Texas Governor Bush asking on behalf of Pope John Paul II that clemency be granted. But even the appeal of a pope may have to yield to an even higher power. The power of human political ambition. That was certainly the case as regards to the late Carla Faye Tucker, whose remarkable rehabilitation was treated like a joke. Shaka Sankofa has spent half of his life not only in a cage, but under threat of death despite considerable evidence of his innocence. From his perspective, the U.S. is many things, but freedom-loving, it ain't. From death row, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
Louisiana ends privatized juvenile prisons, but the attack on oppressed nation youth continues. The state of Louisiana agreed to make superficial changes in its juvenile prison system on September 7th to settle various pending lawsuits. The lawsuits, including one launched by the U.S. so-called Department of Justice, stated that youth in Louisiana's prison system have been brutalized and denied basic needs like medical and dental care, food, and clothing. The state of Louisiana, as well as other plaintiffs, are satisfied to attribute the brutality against youth to the privatized youth facilities run by the Wackenhut Corrections Corporation. However, the changes, while temporarily good for the youth incarcerated in Louisiana, amount only to superficial modifications within a system bent on brutalizing oppressed nations and utilizing the fascist means of privatized prisons where they can. The oppression of America's internal semi-colonies is enforced by its prison system. Whether it's Wackenhut or a state-run facility or the Corrections Corporation of America, the reality that America locks up oppressed nations at a higher rate than apartheid South Africa does not change. Increased arrests and incarceration of oppressed nation youth are not halted if privatization is stopped. Americans may not want to hear about stories of youth being denied food or being forced to lie in feces-covered cells, but they have no qualms about keeping the next generation of oppressed nation members behind bars. A report conducted by the advocate organization Building Blocks for Youth showed that while arrests of white nation youth were higher, oppressed nation youth faced detention and more severe punishment more than did white youth. For example, 15% of all youth aged 10 to 17 were black, but 26% of incarcerated youth in the same age group are black. Once in custody, black youth are more likely than whites to be formally charged and jailed, and far more likely to have their cases referred to adult courts. The study found this difference was present even when black and white youth are charged with the same crime. White youth were more likely than black youth to be sentenced to probation. Black youth are 5 times more likely to be detained than white youth, even if they are charged with the same crime. And incarceration rates for First Nation and Latino youth are 2.5 times higher than for white youth. MIM does not want to see more white youth locked up, but this information demonstrates that oppressed nations are disproportionately imprisoned regardless of age. Whatever the methods of incarceration, whoever the owners of the prisons, the imperialist system cannot reform its prison policies enough to end the oppression embedded within the system. Like the statistics of incarceration, details of material conditions within youth facilities mirror that of the rest of America's prison system. The denial of basic needs for youth should not surprise regular listeners of this program. Bourgeois reports state that youth were deprived blankets, clothing, medical care, and food. One report stated that a prison pig forced a 17-year-old, who had recently had surgery and wore a colostomy bag, to lie face down with the pig's knee in his back. The suit filed by the U.S. Department of Injustice cited the use of corporal punishment, excessive force, and gas grenades, chemical restraints, and isolation. Similar details roll into MIM's mailbox regarding the conditions within prisons across America. However, little notice is taken when the victims are adult prisoners. In both situations, the violence should be attributed to America's entire political and prison system. The culprit is not merely one wayward cop or one private prison corporation. The culprit is the system that enables settler nation members, corporations, and the government to profit politically and financially from increased incarceration and brutality. Public statements following the settlement stated that Louisiana was attempting to, quote, cut costs in its dealings with Wackenhut. Critics say that cutting corners in this way meant skimping on such things as training. But it does not take training to know that human beings need clothing and food. This is a letter from an Indiana prisoner. I love to share your papers with other comrades and watch them light up with excitement for finally hearing something that they can relate to and that isn't a dream of a big piece of pie in the end. I was glad to read about Brother Mamiya Abu Jamal. At least there was some positive information to report. A lot of things you report don't surprise me because the truth always comes to light, and your paper has perfect examples. I was glad to hear Brother Leonard Peltier's story as well. People need to hear about all comrades trapped in the dungeons of the United Snakes. Fight the power, a brother for the cause, a prisoner in Indiana. This has been Under Lock and Key, a revolutionary anti-imperialist league and Maoist internationalist movement program about prisons. For more information, contact RAIL, P.O. Box 712, Amherst, Massachusetts, 01004, or email radio@mim.org.